Today, Shein, the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Hei. And we are learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Mildred Rabinovitz, Tzima Michla Bas Reb Hillel Halevi. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. And we begin today's share on the very top line, Nun Hei Omed Aleph, with the words Tana. And we'll first state this Braisa, and then we'll give the background Psukim behind it to understand. We'll start off today's share with a lot of Darshaning of Psukim. So Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kishu Maze, when the Kohen Gadol does the sprinkling, Lifnai V'Lifnim, of both the Par and of the Sor Lashem, so Eino Maze, he doesn't do the Hazoz, Ala Kaporis, on the covering of the Aron itself. In other words, he doesn't actually sprinkle the blood on the Aron, albeit bid the evidence if it went on that, it wouldn't ruin it, but the intention isn't to sprinkle it Ala Kaporis, Ella Kineged Ovya Shel Kaporis. As we mentioned previously in the Shiur, that he doesn't sprinkle it directly on the Aron, but he sprinkles it adjacent to it, Kineged Ovio, the thickness of the Kaporis. The Kaporis was the covering of the Aron, and he sprinkles the blood, the one up, the seven down, that we've discussed in previous Shiurim, once each for the Par and for the Soyer Lashem. He does that Lifnai V'Lifnim, one and seven, one and seven. So that is not done on the cover of the Aron itself, but is done adjacent to the Aron's cover. And now we'll spend the first part of today's Shiur knowing how we learn that out. So there's two Psukim that we have to darshan from Perek Tes Zayin in Vayikra, first Pasuk Yudalit, then Pasuk Tes Vav. So Pasuk Yudalit tells us about the par. The Kohen Gadol takes V'lokach Bidam HaPor V'Hizor B'Etzpa'o. He goes and takes the blood of the par in his finger. Al Pnei HaKaporis. He does the Hazor Al Pnei HaKaporis Kedma. And then V'Lifnei HaKaporis Yazeh Sheva Po Min Adom B'Etzpa'o. So a couple of things we learn about here from the par, that he does the Hazor B'Etzpa'o on the Pnei HaKaporis, Kedma, and Lifnei HaKaporis. We have to understand, what does it mean? Ala Kaporis and Lifnei HaKaporis. And it says specifically he does it seven times. It doesn't mention the first time. Next Pasuk Tezvav, talks about the Soyer. Then after he does these Hazos, Lifnai V'Lifnim, V'Shochad, Esir HaChatos Asher La'om, he then quickly goes out and does the Shechita on the Soyer La'Hashem, Asher La'om, which belongs to the people, the Hevi Ez Domo, he brings in that blood in the Kli Shoreis that he did the Kabbalah on it, El Mibeis LaParoches, V'Yoso Ez Domo, Kasher Oso Lohem L'Dam HaPor. And he does the same thing that he did for the Dam HaPor, V'Yizo So, and then it tells us, what will be extraneous words, V'Yizo So Ala Kaporis V'Lnei Kaporis. So again, it tells us he does the same thing by the Soyer La'Shem as he did for the Par, and then it tells us what he did for the Soyer La'Shem. So there are a lot of extraneous words over here. Plus, we have to understand, again, the Ala Kaporis, Lifnei HaKaporis. So with that background of these two psukim, we can begin to understand the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off and says to explain this Braisa, that we don't do the Hazor on the Kaporis itself, but we do it Kineged Ovishal Kaporis. So the Gemara tells us, Kishu Maze Lamala Mitzadid Yodu Lamata. What does this mean? When he's doing the Hazor, as Rashi says, the third line in Rashi, Dibra Masko Kishu Maze, Achas Lamala, when he does the first sprinkling in an upward direction, Achas Lamala, Mitzadid Gav Yodo, he turns the back of his hand, what we call the dorsum of his hand, and he turns that lamata, facing downwards, umazek klapimala, and he does that zah in an upward direction. That's for the first one. Ukishumaza sheva lamata, when he does the seven that are down, so mitzadi yod lamala, he turns the back of his hand up, umazek lamul ponov, achas gavoa veachas benomuch hemeno, v'kulunoflus oritz. And he then does the additional seven hazos that are called lamata, each one a little bit closer to him than the Aron. And in this way, he does the one further away and then the seven that are closer to him in the manipulations that we just described from Rashi. That's what the Psukim are coming to teach us. And read it one more time. Kishumaz lamala mitzadi yodu lamata. Ushumaz lamata mitzadi yodu lamala. And this way, he does the one, quote, up and the seven down. And he does the same thing for the par as he does for the Sor Lashem. The Gemara says, exactly how do we know what this means? Minohani mili. How do we know that what I just said is correct? So Gemara says, it's based upon the drashos of these psukim. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Omer Rav Zeira. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, in the name of Rav Zeira, Omer Kod. The pasuk tells us over here what are seemingly unnecessary words, and it repeats it. It says, V'izah oso ala kaporis vilifne kaporis. This seems to be mutually contradictory. It says he shall sprinkle it ala kaporis, which implies higher up, and then it says vilifne kaporis, which means in front of or below. So therefore, lo yomar lamata basoyer de lo tzarech. Now, once it tells me that by the par, right? It tells us first in Pasuk Yudalid by the par. So then, lo yomar lamata basoyer de lo tzarech. You shouldn't have to repeat it by the sor, because by the sor it says the also is damo kasher also dama par. So then, don't repeat. He's also like kaporis blivne kaporis. So this repetition is a problem in and of itself. Besides the what seems to be the mutually contradictory parts, ala kaporis blivne kaporis. So, first things first, lo yomar, you don't have to tell me again in Pasuk Tezvav about the sword that it has to be done ala kaporis le'a kaporis, because the gomar mimata de par, because we learned that out from the mata, the seven down by the par, where it says specifically by the par in Pasuk Yedalid, yaze sheva pamim min adam b'yetzpa'o. So, why do you need to tell me again by the sword? Lo menemar, so why did it need to tell me again by the sawyer? So the answer is lakushe al lilifne. That's to come and tell me that just like al and lifne are by the par, so too al and lifne are by the sor. What does that mean? Ma lifne de lav al, af al de lav al. That comes to teach us that just like the ones that are lifne are not on the actual aron, so too even the word al doesn't mean literally on the aron. It just means closer to the aron, and the lifnei means closer to the person, the kohen gadol doing the azos, further away from the aron. So the first one is closer to the aron, and the other seven are then further away from the aron, closer to the kohen gadol who's doing the azos. So that's why we have this repetition. Moore says, maybe not, adarabba, could be the exact opposite. Instead of saying that al is like lifnei, and lifnei is not on, so too al is not on the actual aron, maybe the other way around. Adrabba, lo yomar lamala bipar de lo tzarech. Don't say the words lamala by the par. You didn't have to tell me that by the par, because the gomar mimala de sari, because we can learn it out from the sari where it says al. And therefore the question is lomanam. So why does it say it? Maybe it's the exact opposite drosha. Liakushe lifne la'al, to compare the lifne to al. And just like ma'al means al mamish, so too af lifne means al mamish. So it's a pumfaket, the exact opposite. Instead of saying that al doesn't mean on, because it's like lifne, which means before, so maybe no, since al means on, maybe lifne also means on. So we have two possible ways to darshan this. So which one is right? The word says, hi, my, what we just said, the second one is totally wrong. What are you talking about? If you want to say, like you're suggesting in the second version, that they both mean on the aron, if you're telling me that the first version is correct, so then everything is good. If you're telling me that the lamato by the sor is coming to tell me that it's lifne, and so to al means lifne, that works out very well. Because then, lamala de par meboile, I need the lamala by the power to teach me, lichitona devei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, to teach me that which Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov taught. Now, what did he teach? In the base medrash of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, they said, the tona devei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, in the base medrash of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, they taught, al pnei hakaporis kedma. In the pasuk Yudalit, it says that you have to do this al pnei hakaporis kedma. So you need that to teach me this din of kedma. Zebono av. That's a general rule to tell me that whenever you're coming in, it has to be from the kedma, from the eastern side. Zebono av. Komokum shnemar pnei. When it says in front of, ainu elakod, it means coming in from the eastern side as you're going from east to west. Eliyamis lamala de par lakushi. But if you want to say like the second version that it means to go and connect lifne to al, so then lamata de soir lamayasa, then there was no purpose of saying the lamata by the soir. So therefore the correct way to learn this is to compare the al to the lifne, and just like the lifne doesn't mean literally on the aron, but it means in front of the aron, so to the al, from the extra wording of the word al, it's coming to teach us that it also doesn't mean on the mizbeach. Again, this is a tough drasha, but the bottom line is that al is compared to lifnei, and just like lifnei is not on the aron itself, it's before the aron, so too the word al, even though that implies it should be on the aron, it doesn't literally mean on. Okay, that's the first drasha. Tana Rabbanan, we continue darshaning. It says, Vizo so ala kapores, vilifnei kapores. That was Pasuk Tezvav, and that's talking about the Sora Lashem. So it says there specifically that you should do the hazos al hakaporas v'lifnei hakaporas. So therefore, lamadnu kama lamala b'sor. How many times you do up lamala by the sor? Achas. You only do it one time because it says v'izah oso. You do it one time. Now, lamata b'sor any of their kama, but I don't know how many are v'lifnei hakaporas. I don't know how many are there, because it doesn't specifically mention it in Pasuk Tesvav. So therefore, how do I learn out how many should be done lemata by the sar harini done? Because it says, nemru damin lemata bepar, because there are the seven that are down by the par, lifnei by the par, the nemru damin lemata besar, and there's an unexplained number, it doesn't describe how many are by the sar, so it makes sense for us to suggest, ma lemata bepar sheva, af lemata besar sheva. So just like by the par, there was the one up and the seven down, so to over here, by the Sar Lashem, there should be one up and seven down. Oh, maybe Gemara says otherwise, though. No, maybe do it the following way. Nemru Damin Lamala Besar. By the Sar, we know that there's one up. The Nemru Damin Lamata Besar. And it says an unknown number by the Sar that are down. Maybe, Malamala Besar Achas, Af Lamata Besar Achas. No, maybe it means that there's only one up and one down. Why are you comparing the Sar to the Par? Maybe compare the Sar internally to itself. And just like there's one up, there should be one down. That's the question the Gemara says. Do we compare the Sar to the Par? And just like by the Par there are seven down, seven lifnei, so too by the Sar there should be seven lifnei? Or do we say that no, we should compare it to itself? And just like there's one up, there should be one down. So the Gemara says, Nira lemidomet. Let's see which way is more appropriate to go compare it. Should we say donin mata mimata? Should we compare the downward, the lamata, by the Par to the Sar? Donin mata mimata. Makes sense to compare down to down. And they've done in mata milamala, and not to compare down from up. So therefore, instead of saying that you should have one up, one down by the sar, you should say, just like by the par, there were seven down, so too by the sar, there should be seven down. Or do we say, no, adarabba, opposite, done in gufo mi gufo, done the sar from the sar, rather than done in the sar from the par, done in gufo mi gufo. Just like the sar has one up, so the sar should have one down, as opposed to saying the par has seven, so the sar should have seven. What do the par and the sar have to do with each other? They haven't done a goof in the yamba, and don't learn out the goof of the sar from the par. So therefore, there's two possible ways to go. So near limidomet doesn't give us an answer, because you could go both ways. Compare down to down, it should be seven, or compare itself to itself. One is up, so one is down. So Gemara says, therefore, we need the pasuk Talmud Lomar. The pasuk tells us, pasuk Tetzvah, the also as damo kasher also le dam apor. It tells us beferish that you should do to the dam of the sar just like you did to the dam of the par. Shein Talmud Lomar kasher also. You didn't have to tell me that. Why? Because the next pasuk, next part of the pasuk tells me he's also ala kaporis le kaporis. I know I'm supposed to do up and down. So what does the extra words kasher osa l'dam par come to teach me? Umatam ulom kasher osa, shiyu kol asiyosav shavos, to teach us that the two are identical, the par and the sar are identical, one up and seven down. Kishem shalamata b'par sheva, and just like there's seven by the par, so too kach lamata b'sar sheva, so too by the sar there are seven. So that's great. So we now know the sar has seven down, and that's the right way to learn it. Now, where it says, Lamadnu kama lemata bepar ubisar sheva. So we now know how many are down. Seven. Because it says beferish in Pasuk Yedaleh that there's seven down by the par. And we just learned out that the sar should follow the par. Kasha osa ledam par. And therefore, there are seven down by the sar. Great. We're all set for the downwards. However, lamala bepar, any of their kama. It doesn't mention how many are up by the par. It only mentions in Pasuk Tezvav, by the sar, it says, Viza Oso, which was one, as we darshed out a moment ago. So, Lamala Bapar, in Yodea Kama. So, again, how should we figure out how many are up by the par? Or any done? We can make the following logical derivation. Nemru Damim Lamala Bapar. By the sar, it says one up. Nemru Damim Lamala Bapar, and it doesn't tell us how much, but it says there should be up by the par. So, it makes sense to say, Malamala Bapar, Achas, Af Lamala Bapar, Achas. Just like the sar was one up, so too, Mistama, the par should be one up. Or it says, maybe not. O Klach Lederv Zu. We could make the following logical argument. Nemru Damim Lamala Bapar. It says that there should be some unknown number Lamala by par. So just like there's seven down, Malamata Bapar Sheva, Av Lamala Bapar Sheva. Maybe there should be seven up by the par. Again, Dan it by itself. Just like itself has seven down, so itself should have seven up. So Gemara asked the same question that we had a moment ago. Nir l'midome. Let's see which one makes more sense to compare it to. Should we say Don in Mala Mimala, Vein Don in Mala Mimata? Makes sense to go compare the upward hazos from the other upward hazos. We know that there's one upward hazos by the sar, so mistama, there should be one upward hazos by the par. and don't learn out upward from downward. Vein don in ma'alu l'mato. Or we say, no, adirabba, the exact opposite, like we said a moment ago. It makes sense, don gufa migufa. It makes sense to don the par from itself. So just like there's seven down, there should be seven up, as opposed to vein don gufa mi'alma, as opposed to learning the par from the sar. So again, we don't have a raya near l'midoma. Which one is more logical? That's why we have the pasuk, Talmud Omar. It says, v'oso es domo kasher oso. Again, in pasuk tetzvav, it tells us what seems to be extraneous words, that the par, which was mentioned in pasuk yudalit, the sar should have the same thing, kasher oso l'dama par. So therefore, shein Talmud Omar kasher oso. That was unnecessary because we already had the words that we find at the end of pasuk tetzvav. He's also ala kaparis, of leha kaparis. So it's unnecessary. So what's the purpose? To teach me that we compare the par and the sar. She will call asu yosav shavos, that all the downward ones as well as the upward ones should be the same. And just like yishem shalamata bepar sheva, just like downward there are seven by the par, kach lemata besar sheva, so too there were downward seven by the sar. And so too, kishem shalamala besar achas, just like there's one by the sar up, so too, kach lemala bepar achas, so too there's one going up by the par too. And therefore, this is the right way to darish it out. One up, seven down. One al, seven lefnei, both by the par and by the sar. And this is all darish it out from these seemingly extraneous words that we have in the pasuk, where it repeats ala kaporis lefnei kaporis in both psukim, and it also tells us kasher also ledam par, and that is the correct drasha. Difficult drasha, but Baruch Hashem, we got through it, hopefully. Now the Mishnah says that when he counts the hazos, he counts in a somewhat funny way. He doesn't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The Tosas Yishonim explains that you have to count 7 separately based upon the drushas of the psukim. And likewise, we know that there's a minion of actual counting because it says sheva pa'amim instead of saying sheva tipin. So for various reasons, he has to definitely count 7. So he counts in the following way, not counting 8, he counts 1, and 1 and 1, 1 and 2, as we said, achas, achas, yachas, achas, shatayim, where he mentions the 1, and then he mentions each one of the 7 afterwards for a total of 8, as opposed to just counting 1 through 8. Tana Rabban, we learned the following in a braisa, a little bit different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said you count 1 and 1, and then 1 and 2, and then 1 and 3. So the 1 goes first. But in the braisa, it says achas. You first count the 1 up, and then you say achas, yachas, the 1 up, 1 down, and then you say achas, ushtayim. Achas v'sholos, achas v'arba, achas v'chomish, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva, divi Rav Meir. That's exactly like our Mishnah. But then we have Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you count achas, the first one up, and then achas v'achas, one up, one down. But then he says, shtayim v'achas, you've count first the ones down, and then you remind yourself of the one up. Shtayim v'achas, sholos v'achas, arba v'achas, chomish v'achas, sheish v'achas, sheva v'achas. So this is seemingly totally different than Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you count 1 and 1, 1 and 2, 1 and 3, and Rav Yehuda says you count 1 and 1, but then 2 and 1, 3 and 1. So the Gemara says, well, pligi, but they're not really arguing with each other. Mark Yasrei. They're each counting the way they normally count in their different areas. For example, a person can say 21, or he can say 1 and 20. So each of them was counting the way they normally count in their own area, but there's no difference of opinion between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But we see from this, the bottom line is, the Kuli Alma, Mies Hazar Rishona Tzricha Minyon Im Kol Achas V'Yachas. They both hold that you count the one up separately, and then you add it each time you're counting the 7 down. Why is that? My time, what's the rationale behind both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda saying that you have to count each time the one up with the each one of the 7 down that you're doing, you have to mention the one up, either before or after it. Like Rav Meir reviewed, each person, like the way they counted in their specific area, but they all agreed that you have to mention the one up each time. My timer, how come? So where it says, two terutzim. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar tells us, shelo yita ba'azos, that you shouldn't make a mistake in counting, because as we mentioned from the Tosas Yishonim, you have to go count the 7 separately by themselves. And therefore, you can't just count 1 through 8 and make sure there's no mistake. So once you're doing 1 through 7, there's the potential for a mistake because you'll forget that you already counted the first one and you could make some sort of a mistake. And you count 1 for the 1 up and then you'll do the next one. You'll just do 2 and you'll do 3 and you'll forget that you have to do 1 and 1, 1 and 2. And therefore, you can end up only doing 7 instead of 8. Therefore, to guarantee, Rabbi Loza says that if you don't make a mistake in the counting, do it in this fashion, counting the 1 up each time, and then the 7 down with it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Loza. Rav Yochanan says, no, it's based upon psukim. Rav Yochanan Amar, Amar Kra, the pasuk tells me, Vilifnei HaKaporis Yazeh, in front of the Kaporis, you have to do the Hazos. Shein Tamad Lomar Yazeh. It didn't have to tell me the word Yazeh. It could have just said, Lifnei HaKaporis, because we're talking about the Hazos, so we already know that. It said at the beginning of the pasuk, Vizor Bietzboa, Pnei HaKaporis Kedma. So why does it have to say Yazeh Sheva Pomim again? So the fact that it says Yazeh again, no matam aloma Yazeh, that is coming to teach me a drosha. Limeit al hazor rishona shetricha minyan im kol achas v'yachas. That's coming to tell me that there's a chiyav min haTorah, and since it says the word chukah, it's a ma'akev chiyav. If you don't count in this way, so then you're not yotze, and you'd have to redo the sprinklings again. Therefore, it says the word Yazeh, Limer al-Hazor, Rishon, Shetzricha, Minyon, Imkol, Achas, V'Achas. That's a din d'oraisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you have to say this. Rabbi Elazar just says it, so you shouldn't make a mistake. Might be Nayu, what's the Nafkamina? So I've already alluded to what the Nafkamina is. Ike benayu, the Lomona, the Lotah. If you didn't do the counting, but you didn't make a mistake. So according to Rabbi Elazar, you were obligated to do the counting, only it's not to make a mistake. So Baruch Hashem, even though you didn't do the counting, as long as you didn't make a mistake, okay, fine. So you didn't do the counting, but you didn't make a mistake, so you're fine, you're yotze. That's going to Relazer. According to Rav Yochanan, it's a din deraisa. It says chukah, chukas olam, and therefore we learned already previously that that's one of the buzzwords, that if you don't do this, it's ma'akev. So therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, you must yaze, you must specifically state one, one and one, one and two. If you don't do that, you're not yotze, even though you didn't make a mistake. So therefore, that's the nafkamina. Rabbi Loza says, if you didn't do it, but you didn't make a mistake, you're yotze. And Rabbi Yochanan says, if you didn't do it, even though you didn't make a mistake, you're not yotze, and you'd have to do it again. Then the Mishnah is quoted and says, Yotza v'inicho al-kan hazov shebeichol. After the Kohen Gadol did the zrika of the par of the Kohen Gadol, lefdai v'lefdim, so he goes and takes the container, the Klei Sharis, he still has the blood, because he still has blood applications that he has to do in the Heichal, towards the Parochas, as well as on the Mizbeach. So he puts it down on its place. Now, according to the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, there was a separate place that we put the Dam of the par, and then, ultimately, after he does the Sar Lashem, he has to come back out into the Heichal, and he puts down the Sar Lashem on a separate Khan, on a separate stand, and then he retakes the Dam HaPar container, and he does the Hazos of the Dam HaPar towards the Parochas. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was only one Khan. He never put it down. So the question is, how come? Why did Rabbi Yehuda only have one Khan, and the Tanakhama has two Khans, two stands? So the Gemara says, Tanan Hossam. Now, this sounds like it should be a Mishnah, but it actually is not. And the Siach Yitzhak brings down many places where we actually sometimes use the word Tanan to designate not a Mishnah, even though it normally is a Mishnah, but a Kamina Bryce as well. In any event, this is a Tosefta. It learned as a Tosefta, Rav Yehuda Omer. Now, what does this have to do with our Gemara? We'll see. But right now we're talking about the Shofros that were in the Beis HaMikdash. These were collecting bins. These were stocka containers. We learned these in Shkolim. There were 13 of them, and each of them had a separate purpose. Some of them actually had the same purpose, but there were 13 separate containers, and we're going to go through a little bit what those containers were. And we learned in a Tosefta there, the Rav Yehuda says, Omer, Lohayu Shofros Lekine Chova Mipnei HaTarovos, that there were these 13 containers, which we'll see in a moment what they were. Rabbi Yehuda, again, our Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah, who holds it was only a single Khan, only a single stand, so he held in this discussion about the shofros, the collection bins, the containers for tzedaka, for putting in the various korbanos or other offerings to the Beis HaMikdash, so he said they bedafka did not have a container that people could put in when they had an obligatory pair of birds. One is an ola, one is a chatas, so they had to do that separately than putting it into these tzedaka bins and leaving, because of a concern of tarovos, that there could become a mixture. What does this mean? My mipnei atarovos, what mixture is Rabbi Yehuda concerned about that he says we don't make such a separate collection bin for an ola and a chatas, a pair of bird offerings that are brought, for example, by Yoledes, by Yezav or Rezava. So they had to bring a pair of birds, echod li'ola, the echod li'chatas. So Rabbi Yehuda says we don't have a collection box for this. They have to go give this separately to the Kohen so there won't be any mistakes, there won't be any tarovos. So my mipnei atarovos, what is exactly does this mean that there shouldn't be any mixing over here? So Rabbi Yosef explains, Mipnei taroves chova b'nedava. Now, a nedava bird offerings are two olos. Now, an ola, if you remember from when we did Masechta Skinim, has a totally different application series and process than does the chatas. Now, by behema, the chatas is always above the chuta sikra, the blood applications, and all of the other behemoths are below the chuta sikra. It's pumfakert, it's the exact opposite by the bird offerings, where the ola is above the chuta sikra and the chatas is below the chuta sikra. Plus, there are many other differences between an ola and a chatas, and if in fact you do them incorrectly, you're not yotze. So, if a person has to bring two ola birds, versus another person has to bring one ola bird and one chatas bird, and they got mixed up, you're in a gehak ditzaris. You have a whole lot of problems, as the whole Masech Tekinah talks about what you do when these birds become mixed up. So Rabbi Yosef tells us that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned over here that you're going to mix up an ola and a chatas pair with an ola and an ola pair, and you're going to have all sorts of problems. So to make sure that you don't have such a problem, he says, don't have a collection box, don't have one of the shofros that are going to be for the bird pair that is an ola and a chatas. Give that separately to the kohen. And all the boxes that you'll have will only be for ola, 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 and therefore there's no potential taruvis problems. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. But his Talmud, Abaye, says to him, Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to his Rebbe, V'navid trei, why don't we just have one collection box, one shofar that you clearly demarcate on it, that it says, this is for an ola and a chatos combination, and another box, there's another shofar that will clearly say on it, this is for an ola and an ola. V'navid trei, make two collection boxes, two different shofros. V'nichtov alayu, hai dechova, v'hai dinadaba. And this one is for a chova, an obligatory bird offerings, which is one ola and one chatas. And this one is for the voluntary bird offerings, which is two olos. And why does Rav Yehuda say that we can't do this? What's the problem with doing this? So now we'll answer Rav Yehuda as we turn to Nun Hei Amid Beis. We'll now see what this has to do with our Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda less le kisiva. He doesn't consider, as the top Rashi says, Anun Hei Amud Beis, ain't somchen al kach. You can't rely upon the writing it down, because you know what? People are human. The zimnin de lava daite liyune biksova. Because somebody's not going to be careful, and they're not going to look carefully to see this was the one that's the chova, which is nola nachatas. And mistakenly, they'll put their two olas in there, or vice versa. Somebody won't look carefully and see that this was for the two olas, and they'll put an ola and a chatas contribution in there, and now everybody's all messed up. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds, Rabbi Yosef says, that we don't rely upon writing down. Now, how does he know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that we can rely upon writing things down? He says, oh, our Gemara, Dithnan, our Mishnah in Yuma, where it tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that there's not two kans, lo yosham ela kan echad bilvad. He didn't rely upon two kans. He said you must have only one kan, so the blood of the par won't get forgotten and mixed up with the blood of the sar. When the coin goes to take it, he won't take the wrong one. Aye, why don't we put down two like the Tanakama? Trey, my timer low. Why not have two stands like the Tanakama says? Mishum de Mechalfe, because Yehuda is concerned that if you put it down on two stands, there's going to be a mistake. By accident, the coin gold, instead of taking the par for the blood of the par first, which is a chiyav, it's the order is ma'akev, and if he takes the sar first, then he's going to be all messed up. He'll have to redo everything all over again. Now, why not just write it down, write down on the stands, this is the par, and this is the sar. Oh, the navi trei v'lichtov alayu, hai de par v'hai de sar. Why does Rav Yehuda say that? It must be, Rav Yosef says, el Rav Yehuda, less like Kasiva. He says, we don't rely upon Kasiva because people won't read it. They'll make a mistake. Ah, just like they don't make the Kasiva by the shofros, and we don't allow a Ola Chatos box because the people make a mistake and we don't write down, this is the Ola Chatos box, this is the Ola Ola box. So to over here, Rav Yehuda holds that we don't write down, this is the stand for the par, this is the stand for the Sar Lashem, because the Kohen may forget. He's so busy, involved in doing the work, Lefnai V'Levim, he's so tired from all the avodah he does all day, he may make a mistake. That's what Rav Yosef says. Now the Gemara is going to go into a long proof to argue against this opinion of Rav Yosef. We're not going to finish it in today's shir, and the Amud Aleph tomorrow is very short, so we'll just go a little bit more in today's shir, so we'll leave a lot of the discussion for tomorrow. But it's going to take us till the end of tomorrow's shir to finally do the following mesve. The Gemara starts off in questions Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you just said the Yehuda doesn't hold that you can write things down. Is that really true? It says that there were 13 shofars in the Mikdash. Like mentioned before, this is the Mishnah in Shkolim and other places where it tells us that there were these 13 collection boxes, stucker boxes, that people could deposit their various donations into those boxes and not have to wait around and have the korban or the donation be utilized. They could leave. And they wrote upon them the following things. Each of the 13 had a different purpose. So the first one was Tiklun Charitin. Gemara and Shkolim goes in the order, what it was exactly for what. We're just going to read it simple now. Tiklun Charitin, the first one was the new Shkolim. The Gemara will explain what this means in a moment. This is for the people that are giving the Matzah Shekel for this year. Tiklun Atikin, that's for people that didn't, for whatever the reason, bring last year, so they still have a chance to bring it, albeit it won't be used for Korbanos, it'll be used for all sorts of other uses, for donations for the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Tiklun Atikin. Then we have the next one was Kinin, and the next one after that is Gozli Ola. So we'll have to explain, these are bird boxes for pairs of birds. So we're going to explain what Kinim are and what Gozli Ola are. Now we'll have the opinion of Rav Yehuda that we're going to mention over here, because that's what we're discussing. That's going to be the argument. You're telling me that Rav Yehuda holds that we don't write things down. Here you see that he does write things down. So that will be the question. And we don't bring down the opinion of the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Huda, which I'll just point out when we get to it. So you have the Kinim and the Gozli Ola, the next two of the Shofros. These are both bird offerings, which Rabbi Huda is going to say are both Ola offerings. One will be for the two types of birds are the Tor and the Ben Yonah. So the Kinim are going to be for the Tor, and the Gozli Ola are going to be for the Ben Yonah. But all of them are Olos. Then the next shofar is for Eitzim, for people that wanted to donate wood to the Beis HaMikdash. The next one is Lavona, for people that wanted to donate Lavona to the Beis HaMikdash. Then the next one is a Zov Lichporos. Now, Rashi understands this as Zov Lichipores, as being for the various types of klishares that they would go and do the Kabbalah Saddam in. The Tosus Yeshanim, however, brings down alternative opinions. He says, Rashi says it means Kipore Zov. But he brings down from the Riva, who had a different gear over here, he said it was Likaporis, not Kiporos, and he said this means Rikue Pachim Tzipui Lebeis Kodesh Kedoshim. This was for plating, golden plating for the inside of the Kodesh Kedoshim. And that's alluded to. The Kaporis means Lebeis HaKaporis, the house that housed the Kaporis, which was the top cover of the Ark. And he says this is based upon a Yerushalmi, where it actually says Shemos Torah Truma Yuosin Tzipui Lebeis Kodesh Kedoshim. Okay. In any event, whatever it is, a Zav Lekaporos was, that's the seventh one. And then we have six additional ones, the Shishol and the Dova. These are just general donations for Keitz HaMizbeach, when the Mizbeach didn't have any specific korbanos to be brought. It's not nice that it should be inactive. So they had a whole bunch of collections to bring Olos, what we call the Keitz HaMizbeach. Now, those are the 13. Now, we explain what these are. Tiklun Charitin, I already said, Elu Shkolim Shokol Shana V'Shana. This is the donations for people that had to give the Matzah Shekel money for this year. So they would put it into that shofar. Tiklun Atikin was the people of Misha Lo Shokal Eshtaka, for whatever reason they didn't give last year, and they want to make it up. So Yishkol Shana Ba. And they would go give it this year for last year. It would be added to the Shiare Halishka from the previous year and used for various needs of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the first two. Then we have the critical ones that we're interested in now. Kinin, what was the box, the shofar that was labeled Kinim? Hein Torin, that was for Tor. Again, the two kosher species of birds, the Tor and the Ben Yonah. The Tor is only good when it's the older bird of the Tor, and the Ben Yonah is only good when it's the younger bird of the Ben Yonah species. They're two separate species, and each of them is only good at different points of those birds' lives. Now, the box that said Kinim on it, that was for if a person had made an obligation to donate, he took upon himself an obligation to donate Olos that were from Torin. So he had to specifically be Yotze his obligation with Torin and not a Ben Yonah, and therefore they put that money into the Torin box of Shtei Olos, of the two bird offerings. And there was another box, Gozli Ola, that was Hain B'nei Yonah, for people that said, I want to donate, obligate myself to donate to voluntary obligations of Olos of B'nai Yonah and the Kulan Olos. All of these were Olos. Both the box that said Kinim, which was Torin donations of an Ola, or the box, the shofar that said Gozli Ola, all of these were for voluntary donations. The person obligated himself to give these voluntary donations. They were all Olos. There's no Chattas in there. So clearly, Rav Yehuda holds that we do label them, because he's not concerned that people will put the money inside for the Tor, inside the Ben Yonah box, or they'll put the money for the Ben Yonah inside the Tor box. So clearly, this is the kasha that we're asking on Rabbi Yehuda, the understanding that Rabbi Yosef had of Rabbi Yehuda. He said that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. He says people don't read the writing and they'll make a mistake. That's why there's only one Khan. But here you clearly see that he says people do read the writing. They have Kinim writing, and they have Goz Leola writing. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Yehuda. Now, why doesn't he have a third box that says for the Ola Chatas, for the obligatory required korbanos that, let's say, a Zav or Yoledis have to go bring one Ola, one Chatas? Why doesn't he have that? So Gemara says, Kiyosu Ravdimi, Ravdimi came up from Eretz Yisrael. Omar, he said the following teretz. Ami Baravava, they say over in Eretz Yisrael, Gezeira, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow this special box, a third box, for Ola and Chatas together, why he only allowed the two types of Ola, either the Torah in one box and the Benyon in another box, that was okay. People will read the writing. They're not concerned about that. So why doesn't he have the third box? It's a Gzeira Mishum Chatos Shemesu Bolel. Because we have to be concerned that if the person who put in the money, the Zava, the Oledis, to put in the money in the Ola Chatos box, Nebuch, that person passed away. So now you have a money that is designated for a chattis of a person that died. And if the person dies, you can't bring the chattis. And therefore, everything in this box would be a potential for a taruves, and it would be all messed up. And that's why he didn't have a separate box for an ola and chattis donation. More questions. It says, really? Are we really concerned that maybe the owner is going to die? But none. We learned in the Mishnah in Gittin that if somebody sends their korbanos from far away, hasholeach chatoso mimdina sayam, somebody did something wrong and he's chayav chatos, he by accident he ate chaylet, and he's chayav to bring chatos, so he sends his money for his chatos to Eretz Yisrael from wherever he is, and when the money gets there, makriven osa. We're allowed to go and assume the person is still alive, b'cheska shukayim, because he was alive when he sent it, so mistam, he's still alive. We leave the chazok as it is, that the person was alive. So therefore, in this situation, why are we not concerned that maybe the person died? So we see that we're not concerned. We aren't chayshinon that maybe the person died. So how come over here that Rav Dimi says gzeira mishum chato shemesu be'olel, we're not choshesh for that? So why are you choshesh? So Gemara says, no, that you misunderstood what Rav Dimi said. El mishum chato shemesu be'olel vaday. We're not concerned that maybe they'll die. We know that they died. The person put in the money into the Ola Chatos bin, and Nebuch got a heart attack right away. And after they saw the money thrown in, the guy died right there in front of them. So it's definitely, not a chayshinon, but it's definitely that there's money in there that was unfortunately from a person that passed away. And now you have this potential taruvus, and that's why Rav Yehuda did not allow them to have an Ola Chatos box. Where it says, but there's a simple teretz to that. The Nivror Arba Zuzeh, go take out the four zuz, that's how much it cost for the each bird offering. So take out four zuz from this box. They put in money into this box. Take out four zuz. The Nishde B'mayo, others have the Girsa, Rebbe Chananel has the Girsa, V'yashlichen B'nar, throw it into the river, crush it and throw it into the river, or throw it into the Yama Melech. B'mayo normally means the Yama Melech, where it won't get used. And in this way, V'hanach Nishtayru, everything else left is good. All the money left in the box now belongs to live people. The dead person that put in the money there, so that for Zuzim, for his chatas bird, is taken out and is not being used. And the Tosfos Yeshanim explains this works upon the principle of Breira, that retroactively we can say that this was the designated funds that that person had. And he adds to it, and he says that it really works on a Tanai, which you don't even have to specify, but this was the understanding that when people put in the money, they would say, listen, I'm putting in this money, but if I were to chas v'shalom pass away, so then whichever four zuzim you take out, that will be my money, and the four zuzim that I put in, if you didn't really pull out the four zuzim that I put in, so the four zuzim that I put in will be somebody else's money. And this tanai works to allow Breira to work, and therefore we could solve our problem over here, even if we know mesu ba'aleh vadai, you could still figure out how to make this not be a problem by the principle of Breira. So the Gemara answers, no, that can't be because Rav Yehuda less lay Breira. Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from this principle of Breira. That's a big machlokes. And therefore, since Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira, that can't be the reason. And therefore, that's why Rav Yehuda didn't allow you to have an Ola and Chatos bin. Now the Gemara says, Minolan, where do we know that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from this principle of Breira? But the Omud Aleph tomorrow is very, very short, and this is one sugi that we've learned many, many times. We'll be able to go through it somewhat quickly, and therefore we'll save the rest of this discussion for tomorrow. And this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.